Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Absolutely gorgeous day outside. We've got the trade winds blowing a little stiffer. They're about 15 to 25 miles an hour, but it's going to be 90 degrees. So wear that sunscreen. Mostly cloudy, frequent showers on the windward side of Oahu and just along the Ko'olau Range, basically. A lot of rain in the afternoon is forecast. Of course, we're keeping an eye on Hector. So I went through the forecast going, okay, we're Sunday, we're still 10 to 20. Wednesday, breezy, scattered showers, 15 to 25. Of course, we have no idea which way it's going to go. So we're always keeping an eye on Hurricane Hector, the first one to actually seem to be heading toward the Hawaiian Islands this hurricane season. We've got so much golf going on. We have a major, it's the Women's British Open. That's the major. We've got a WGC. Tiger Woods is playing, of course. And then we've got the FedEx Cup coming up after the PGA Championship. And that starts next week. So this is really rolling along before the NFL starts playing football. They want to get golf out the door. And we're going to talk first with Louine Mayer, Global Golf Post correspondent. She's the author of several books, including 100 Years of Women's Golf and The Real Monty, Colin Montgomery's biography. We're going to thank the people who make this show possible before we bring Louine in the studio.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futura Stone, for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots, concrete-colored floors, and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, master PGA teaching professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Louine Mayer, Global Golf Post correspondent in Scotland. She is looking at the Rico Women's British Open for us. Of course, it's being played at Royal Lytham and St. Anne. And it certainly looks like a very, very challenging golf course. Louine Mayer is also a golfer, a champion golfer in her own right, although she hasn't been playing championship golf in a while. She's been traveling around the world as a correspondent for Global Golf Post and writing these wonderful books. Welcome into the clubhouse, Louine.
Thank you. That's a nice build-up, I have to say, when I haven't played for many years. But I could play at one point.
Yeah, yes, you could. And the question I have, Royal Lytham and St. Anne's, is that one of the most difficult golf courses in the Rota? That, I mean, women have been playing this Women's British Open for five times, I think, at that golf course.
Yes. Well, it's a very good course, you know, in that you get wonderful crowds around there, you know, and that's the sort of west of England and northwest of England, and they really enjoy their women's golf there. And it is a great course as well. I mean, it's got all these bunkers there to grab you, and it's really quite frightening. I mean, you look out from the clubhouse, and you realize what's going to be a lie ahead. You're not going to see a pretty sea view or anything. It's going to be hard work out there.
The greens are tough. They seem to have more undulation than most greens that we see, let's say, in the U.S.
They are tough greens. They're big greens. They are certainly very undulating, but they're in wonderful condition. I mean, they must be very proud of the condition they've got their greens in, especially after the summer. You know, they look wonderful.
And we've got a huge audience of male golfers who really enjoy watching women's golf. And they love watching women's golf because the women are so good at what they do. And the distances they play are akin to what they can pull off in you know, when they go to the golf course. They can sort of see the club selections that the women use. Who do you think is going to pull this off? The leaderboard is very interesting, from Thailand to South Korea to, of course, the U.S. We have everybody working hard, keeping themselves in the mix. Brooke Henderson had a hole-in-one that kind of shot her back up, gave her those two extra strokes that she needed to put her into some kind of contention yesterday. How do you see things shaping up after day three?
Well, I must say I've been fascinated by the way this Thai girl is playing, Pornanong Patlum. She's absolutely amazing. She just keeps straight all the way, which is what you have to do. And for the most part, she's kept out of trouble, and she's kept a nice sort of smile on her face. She's very placid. I think she could just do it. I mean, I know she hasn't. I think she's only just inside the top 100 on the money list. But she's an intriguing player to watch. You know, I know she wears these strange shorts and she has her caddy dressed in the same thing, but she wins. Everybody will be dressing up their caddies in these strange shorts.
I've been begging my leaderboard to come up, so I'm going to be dependent on you to let me know. Soo-Yong Park, she is quite, I mean, she's called Tiger after Tiger Woods in Asia because she's so good, and she really hasn't even reached what she's capable of, I think. Watching her play, is she's with a very short hair, and she's very all business.
Oh, she's all business, but if you look up on some fancy website, you will see this little, you know, she looks like, as you say, she's got this short haircut, and she looks like a bit of a tomboy, but you've seen her on one of these sites dressed in ball gowns, and she is stunning. I mean, you could put her on the front cover of Vogue.
That you don't, well, I hadn't even thought about that. You know, you dress to play golf. You're not dressing up to you know, go to a dance. So yeah, I never could.
You're
really,
not, but yeah. It's fascinating to see,
yes,
you know, her in her golfing clothes and then her dressed up. And my goodness, you know, she's just fascinating.
Yes, exactly. But don't you think her game is, I mean, she's won many times in the Asia circuit. And yet, she just seems to be still finding herself, even though she's so good.
I'm sure she is, but she's got this wonderful swing. She hits it far. I mean, she really does hit it an incredibly long way. And I just, you know, she's hugely talented. I think she's got the lot. As you say, she'll get better yet, too.
And there was an interesting article that, this is Louine Mayer, Global Golf Post, and you can get Global Golf Post in your inbox, and great articles. All you do is go to globalgolfpost.com, and then you say, here's my email address, send it to me, and it'll come to you in your inbox, usually around midnight Hawaii time, so it's perfect to be able to read it right first thing in the morning. But one of the things we're, of course, watching over this spring, summer, fall, is the different major tournaments. And the U.S. men's and the U.S. women's. Tell us about the general consensus, it seems, is that the women really are noticing a big difference in the way they're treated than the men are treated by the USGA.
Yes. Now, it's unusual for these girls to come, you know, to approach me, but I was at, you know, with a complaint of any kind. I mean, usually, they're very agreeable and they want to talk about good things, but the question I'd put to them was, where did they think they were in the equality stakes on a 1 to 10 basis? And they were saying, you know, they were putting it about 5 out of 10, and I thought that's odd because they're so happy here in the Scottish Open, and I knew they always have everything done, you know, it's wonderful at the RICO and the ANA and these other tournaments they have. But apparently at the US Open, they were not happy. They felt, well, Karen Stupples, one of your, you know, very good commentators, she said she didn't feel the women were being treated with the same respect as the men.
Interesting.
The food wasn't quite as good, and you know, just conditions weren't quite as good, and, you know, they weren't happy with what they got.
The caddies in the men's U.S. Women's Open, the caddies in the men's U.S. Open were treated better than the competitors in the women's? I mean, usually the caddies
I heard that a couple of times, once from Karen and once from a couple of other girls, and then there were other two very nice little girls, one from China, another from Korea, who, you know, they were endlessly polite, but they sort of discussed it, and then they said to me, you know, if this hadn't been the U.S. Women's Open, you know, we wouldn't have played in it, but because it's the U.S. Open, they know that people are going to play in it.
Wow.
And I thought that was very sad.
Yeah, it is. Especially, I think your article also points out that at the U.S. Women's Senior Open, the first ever, the inaugural, I mean, they were treated quite lavishly. So, you know, the disparities are just interesting to see across the board. I wouldn't know where to put it on. You know, what is the cause? I don't know.
I don't know, but I mean, I spoke to Trish Johnson, who played, for instance, in the Senior Open, and you know, she's commentating this week, and she played in the Scottish Open. But she says, you know, that the Senior Open was absolutely brilliant. And Laura said the same. It was wonderful. They couldn't have gone out of their way more to, you know, give them everything and to make it an equal event, you know, with the U.S. Seniors Open, I presume. So it was very odd that it just didn't seem to go, and, you know, they felt so disappointed in such a major event.
Exactly, that they felt so disappointed at a major, at the USGA's U.S. Women's Open. It's surprising and it's sad. What was the reference to the gym? They built a gym for the guys?
They built it. Angela Stanford, an absolutely wonderful girl. I always love speaking to her. But she was saying to me that, in her opinion, the differences between what the men got and what the women got, you know, she always noticed the extras. And she said to me, what did I hear right? Was it true that the men got a gym built for them at Carnoustie? And the answer was, yes, they did get a gym built for them, and it disappeared soon afterwards.
Oh, interesting. There was also on the women's note, Christy Kerr. You had a great article in Global Golf Post about, we remember Brittany Lincecum playing on the men's circuit, the PGA Tour, and she thinks it's time for that to happen more often?
Well, yes, I put that to her. I said, did she think it might happen 5 years down the road, or could it happen now? And she thought it could happen now. And the two players she said could do it would be Brittany, who she said was consistent, wonderfully consistent, and a sort of freewheeler. You know, she wouldn't take it too much to heart if she didn't do well. She would have absolutely the right attitude. And she thought Michelle Wee was the other, although, you know, Michelle would need to be playing well because she's a bit up and down.
Yeah, and she's got a wrist hurt and she had to pull out.
She thought it would be a very interesting thing for people to see.
Yeah, that's interesting, that Christy Kerr, someone of her stature on the LPGA, thinks it would be good for the... What does she think it would give the women?
Well, she said it would be very good for the women if they did, if the person concerned did well, not so good for the women if they didn't do well. But I was intrigued, in the light of all this, you know, equality stuff we've been hearing recently,
right,
to see that there was quite a bit of feedback on the Global Golf Post on the Facebook page. And quite a few men were saying, oh, no, they need to go and, you know, they shouldn't be taking places from the men. They should be qualifying. And obviously they didn't want to see the women getting, you know, this chance.
Yeah, sponsor exemption. Louien Mayer, Global Golf Post. Great article with your interview from Martin Slumbers, the chief executive of the RNA, talking about the Women in Golf Charter, that initiative to inspire the industry-wide commitment to develop a more inclusive culture with golf around the world, to enable more women and girls to flourish and maximize their potential at all level of the sport. We'll have to talk about that another time. It's a pleasure talking with you always. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daniel.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We're going to go to the WGC Bridgestone and see just how Tiger fared, or is faring, or will fare, because I think he just teed off about 8 minutes ago. Bob, we'll be back with ESPN's Bob Harrig after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futuristone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint, it's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futuristone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
Bob Herrig is senior golf writer for ESPN.com. He's covered golf for, he probably doesn't want me to tell you, over 25 years, okay? Attended Indiana University on an Evans Scholarship. Awesome. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Hey, Danielle, I just tell everybody I started at 15, so makes that 25 years sound a little bit easier.
Yeah, there you go. While you were caddying, you were writing, right?
That's right. Yeah. I'm going with that.
Yeah. Now I'm looking at this leaderboard at the WGC Bridgestone at Firestone for the last time, and I've got Ian Poulter, Tommy Fleetwood, and Justin Thomas. Interesting for Ryder Cup thoughts, isn't it?
Sure is. Yeah. I mean, Poulter and Fleetwood are playing together today, and obviously they're both from England. It's almost, Fleetwood certainly is going to be part of the team, and you would think that that Ian Poulter will be a pick if he does not make it. He's close enough, and so they're playing well. I think it's just going to ratchet up the interest in the Ryder Cup even more. I mean, those guys are playing well. The Open champion is a European and Molinari. Rory's up there this week, I think we're going to have a lot of intrigue over the next 6 weeks or so as the Ryder Cup approaches.
Yeah, going into the FedEx Cup and, of course, the PGA Championship next week. And speaking of the PGA Championship champion, Justin Thomas seems to be finding his game just about the right time.
It's funny, he was in the same position last year. He was lamenting the other day that, it seems like I haven't won in forever. He's not won since the Honda Classic in February. And, last summer he was kind of in a bit of a lull. He missed the cut at the Open this year. Then he had a little bit of success here, not as much as he's having at the moment, and then he goes out and wins the PGA. I mean, he can turn that fast. So I think Justin Thomas is rounding into form at just the right time almost. I mean, obviously he would like to have had a better Open Championship, but he really only had a couple of bad hole stretches there, which can happen. And so it'll be interesting to see how he fares in defending his title next week.
Yeah, it really will be. This whole leaderboard with Rory McIlroy coming on as strong as he is with the 65-67. What's up with this golf course? I mean, Firestone, wasn't it kind of like a difficult course, and everybody's shooting 62s and 63s. A Tiger has a 66, 68. It sounds great, but it isn't.
it's amazing how there are some classic old courses like this that have, they've just been sort of rendered, average in terms of difficulty. I mean, this golf course has been around for 60-some years, and they have PGA championships here, and, shooting a couple under par was the norm. It was considered a brute, and now it's just not. I mean, there's a lot of short irons in the par fours.
Yeah.
And guys aren't really hitting a lot of drivers off the tees. It has a brutish par five, the 16th, which measures about 660 yards. But I mean, even with the right drive and the right conditions, that green is reachable for some guys. I mean, it's a discussion point in the game all the time about how far they hit it now, whether it's the golf ball or the equipment or fitness or combination of all of that. But, we see a golf course like this that 30 years ago would not have yielded scores like this. And now you're right. It's like par is almost like 67,
yeah,
68 instead of 70. And as you noted, Tiger back-to-back rounds in the 60s. 66, 68, and yet he lost ground yesterday.
Exactly. Swinging, what was his swing speed? 100, and, did I hear this right? 181 miles an hour?
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact number, but it's obviously a high number. And, Tiger has not given up anything to these guys in that regard. which is amazing, really, when you consider that a year ago, this time he could probably barely walk, or at least he wasn't getting around real good. So all of that has come back very nicely for him. But you know, this is going to be an interesting test. He is on the docket now for a lot of golf over the next several weeks, and he's got to manage himself properly. It's a fine line because, you know, you can't get better if you don't practice. But if he overdoes it with the practice, then he runs the risk of wearing himself out.
Yeah.
And so it's I don't mean wearing himself out from a physical standpoint as much as from there's the whole mental part of it. There's also his back that he's just, you know, he can't overdo it. And I think we noticed yesterday a little bit. He just was not quite as fast. He was just a little bit. You know, and I don't think it was a pain thing. I think it just it's part of what he has to go through now. He's going to have some days where he's a little bit stiff, and yesterday was one of them.
Oh, you mean, it's what did somebody say? The thing about when you start getting older is you wake up in the morning and you have an ache or a pain. You don't know where it came from. So in addition to all of the surgeries that he's had, he's also just going to have to go through all the stuff that happens through normal wear and tear, you know, on the frame and the body. So with that thing with the neck that he had because he slept wrong,
sure.
Right? Yeah, it's just
exactly.
It's just going to happen. When I watch him, the big question was yesterday I felt like okay, Tiger looks like a regular. So his putter was working. Wasn't working the last time he was on the golf course, and then. And then his irons are working, and then he's got his driver. Wow, he hit 17 green. You know, I mean, it's like 17. And then he can't get. And then today the putter's not working. And it's just like the regular people who go out and play. One day you've got this game. If it was just all come together for him, it seems like he would easily be able to win or certainly be there. I don't know if he's got the Sunday thing yet. I'm not sure if he's got that feeling that. There's a hesitation that I sense in him that he doesn't really have. And, you know, they say hesitation kills when you're driving. Well, hesitation kills every time. You've got to go with it, free form, free flow, and just trust. And I don't think
right.
He trusts yet.
Yeah, I mean, therein lies the rub, right? I mean, it's putting all the aspects together. And I think Tiger has had difficulty doing that for an entire tournament. Early in the year, he putted and chipped well enough to make up for the other deficiencies. Then he got into a stretch where he was hitting his irons really well and he couldn't make any putts. You know, then he started putting better and something else would go awry. You know, at the Open, the critical moments were missing fairways with an iron off the tee.
And that's crazy. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, when you just can't do it, right? And so, and there's also been rounds this year where I remember where, you know, at the Players Championship on the Saturday, he shot 65, but it could have been 63. Like he kind of stalled on the back nine.
Yep.
At the Memorial, the same thing. He has had really good rounds going that he hasn't finished off. Now I don't have a whole lot that I would say that anybody should complain about the Open. He had a very good final. You know, he played with the guy who won, who shot 69, and Tiger shot 71, and most of the other guys shot higher than that. And you know, Tiger actually did finish pretty strong there.
I thought he did too. Yes,
but you know, he had the blip, and everybody had blips that day. So, I think today's an interesting day for him. He's been really good in third rounds this year. Knows his course really well. Can he get on a roll? It'll be fun to see if he can. It would be nice to have him be, a couple back going into tomorrow with a chance. I think the more he puts himself in that position and is under that gun, the better it's going to be for him down the road. I mean, he just needs to experience it and feel it. And whether, you know, even if he doesn't win, I think getting there, the more he keeps getting there, the easier it'll be. I mean, Tiger has said a bunch of times, you don't forget how to win. But I don't know if he's being a little bit disingenuous when he says that in the sense that he hasn't done it for a while, and you still got to get over that hurdle even if you're him.
Yes, and I believe that he believes that you don't forget how to win, but he has. It's one thing to intellectually believe that. It's another thing to deal with all the stuff that happens when you're so close. When he came to that, the 10th on the final round of the Open and hit that into that tall grass, it was like, oh my God, there's that moment where, shucks, now we're going to have to recover from that. And, it just took the momentum away. So, to me, I don't think until you get all those feelings going again and in the moment dealing with them, I think then you realize, well, maybe I still got something to work on here. And
sure.
You know?
Yeah, but absolutely.
It sure is fun watching. He just lights up the whole room when he's on. God.
there's no doubt about it. I mean, it was a great atmosphere on that Sunday with him on top of the leaderboard. It's been a good atmosphere here this week, knowing this is the last Bridgestone at Firestone, where he's won 8 times, where he barely got in the field.
Yeah.
So all of that is, all of that has been really good. And, I just still think, this is only his 13th tournament. Needs to kind of just keep building. And the expectations for him have been off the charts. I think that sometimes is unfair, but if you just look at that big picture view, who would have thought he would be doing this well back in January when there were so many doubts?
Yep, I couldn't agree with you more. And I just I'm loving the fact that he signed up for so many tournaments, and it's gonna be fun going through this this whole PGA Championship, FedEx Cup, and see where he ends up when it's down to 30 guys. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com. Thanks so much for being on the show, and I hope maybe we'll be able to catch up next weekend. We'll have to see how things shake out in your busy schedule.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Bob. Aloha. We're going to come back. Mike Johnson, Golf Digest senior equipment editor and hot list team member. Yes, it's time for the hot list. And it's August. I bet you he's already doing a whole bunch of that. But there, he's got some interesting insights into. We just mentioned Francesco Molinari and his win, being the champion golfer of the year. The magic wand after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We know you aren't looking for a new garage door right now. Even though you haven't changed it in many years, even though the new styles you've seen look clean and strong, even though your current garage door is creaking and groaning, even though your garage door is the first impression that visitors have of your home, you just aren't ready. Or are you? Rainer Hawaii will make it simple to beautify your home. Call Rainer now at 676-3667. That's Rainer at 676-3667.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now, done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Mike Johnson is the equipment editor at Golf Digest. He's a hot list team member. It's a team effort. And we're going to talk about that Molinari magic wand first off, because watching Francesco Molinari win the Open and become champion golfer of the year, it was interesting to note that. Welcome into the clubhouse, first off, Mike.
Well, before we get into that, I'm wondering what the RNA thinks about the likely leader of the Women's British Open using a pink golf ball.
Well, you know what? Now that they have this, Slumbers announced this new initiative to make women feel comfortable and get into the game, maybe they don't care.
Well, nor should they. A golf ball's a golf ball, pink or not.
Thank you. So, you know, we were talking a little bit about this last weekend, that there is a kind of a trend, and I think that may be a too big of a word, because trend would indicate more than four or five guys, but people aren't necessarily getting paid to play clubs in a lot of cases. They're choosing to play their own clubs, and one of those people is Francesco Molinari. His bag is his bag, whatever he wants, except for one club. And tell us about Francesco.
Yeah, well, I think there too. I want to go to the bigger point first, which is kind of the changing landscape in endorsement contracts on tour. I don't think it's necessarily these guys choosing. I just think it's, companies have to look at that investment and what they get for that investment. And, you know, the star players kind of still get theirs. And, but it's a little tougher for some of the more rank and file guys. I think what's interesting is the three major winners this year, none of them have a full-line equipment deal. Patrick Reed doesn't, Brooks Koepka doesn't, and Francesco Molinari doesn't. But the one deal Molinari does have, he signed a deal with Bettinardi Golf earlier this year. And, you know, when it was announced, it was just kind of, well, okay, you know, mid-level putter company signs kind of decent European tour player, and after I'm done yawning, I'll write something about it.
Yes.
But it turned out to be an amazing deal for both sides, and it's not just that Molinari won the Open Championship. I mean, he won the Quicken Loans, he won the BMW. I mean, this guy has been on a tear. And that putter has been a huge part of it.
Yes. But the story behind the putter, too, that you wrote, he first tried their production model, and then he wanted to make some changes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he fiddled around with a couple production models, which is not an unusual first step for most players. Gives them a good idea of kind of what the feel is for a company's product, and feel is vitally important to these guys, kind of what it looks like. But what was interesting was he tried some mallets, kind of like the feel, but the look was maybe a little off for him, and wanted a blade putter. And what they made for him was this custom BB0 model, put a little bit of his own personal touch on it, the red and green Italian colors, a little skull and crossbones in the back cavity. It's only 32 1/4 inches in length. That's really short for a putter. I mean, Molinari's not a tall guy, but even guys his height are normally in the 33, 34 inch length range, so it's really short. And it has a loft that's a little bit stronger than most at 2.5 degrees. Most putters are in that 3, 3.5 degree range. So this is really something that was made specifically for him.
That is so cool. And when you talked about in your article, this is Mike Johnson. He's Golf Digest Senior Equipment Editor. You should really check out some of the things that his insights are so cool, because Bettinardi's tour department, Phil Kenyon, and then Bob Bettinardi himself, were working with him, putting this all together. And you write that Bob had to mill the head to precisely 372 grams?
Yeah, well, like we say, feel is important, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, there are stories in baseball years ago about how Ted Williams could tell if one of his bats was a quarter of an ounce off. And people would say that's ridiculous. But I remember sitting in on a testing session with Tiger Woods in 2003, and he could decipher the face thickness of his driver by brushing it against the grass and notice air bubbles in a grip that no one would be able to tell. So a lot of these guys are super sensitive, and Molinari wants that putter to feel a certain way, have a certain weight to it. And, you know, it just happened to be that that 372 grams is exactly what they needed it to be. And, you know, lucky for Bettinardi, anyone who's been to their plant, and I have, their milling machinery isn't just for golf clubs. I mean, they do a lot of work for the Defense Department, and I think that needs to be a little more exact than golf clubs. So so they know how to do it.
Wow. I was just thinking the secret to golf is in the hands. I mean, it's in the hands. And you got hands that can feel the weight differences like these guys on the PGA Tour, some of them can. That's touch. And that takes time, practice. You got to be out there grinding to get that kind. And I don't mean using
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons, you see, you know, lead tape, you almost never see it anymore on an everyday player's club. But out on tour, these guys still use it. You know, Hideki Matsuyama would be a great example. All of his irons have lead tape in the back of them to varying degrees because it's just for a firmness of strike that he wants to feel with his irons. And you see it with a lot of other players as well. When it comes to their tools, it's what they make their living with, and they need them to be exact.
Absolutely. Now, when I was reading Mike Johnson, one of his articles, this is Golf Digest Senior Equipment Editor, I had no idea that Ping's Director of Product Development, Marty Jurtson, is also a Class A PGA professional who's qualified for the PGA Championship for the third time. That's pretty amazing.
You know, it really is. I've known Marty a long time, and he's a great guy. And I played a bit of golf with him, and man, he can golf his ball. I mean, this is not a fraud. You know, Marty is now, as you said, he's about to play in his third PGA. He's qualified for the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open 4 times. He shot 68 once in one of those rounds. In another one of them, he hit all 18 greens in regulation. How he does it while holding down a full-time job and a family is literally beyond me.
That's amazing. I was just thinking, well, it makes sense that the director of product development, if he's got his stuff out there, he takes it to the golf course all the time. But to have the time, like you said, to be able to hone your game and be championship, PGA championship ready, that's a whole different level. What's Bellerive like? What is that golf course? What can we expect?
Well, I have never seen Bellerive in person. I've seen photographs of it. I've talked to some people who are familiar with it. I think, you know, like a lot of old school golf courses, you need to drive your ball well. It's not going to reward someone who's not accurate off the tee.
Oh dear.
I think you might see, it's not so long that you can't hit, you know, some irons off some tees to keep it in play.
Yeah.
But I would look for someone who's pretty accurate, and, you know, has some length where maybe they don't have to hit driver off of every hole.
Let's hope Tiger decides not to hit driver off every hole. When you said accurate, I went, oh dear, that's what I was odeering about.
Well, it was interesting this week at Firestone. Tiger went back, a lot was made at the Open Championship about this new TaylorMade Gapper Low driving iron that he put in the bag, but at Firestone he went back to his TaylorMade UDI driving iron, which is an older model, but I'm not surprised. When I sat in on an equipment testing session with him in December at Metalist. The TaylorMade guys were trying to get him to hit the P790 driving iron, and he just said, look, this is a nice club, but it's going to take a lot to get this UDI out of my bag. So it's a club he feels really comfortable with. I think he's using it very well this week out at Firestone, and I think he'll use it well at Bellevue.
Got a final question for you. This USJ and RNA decision on yardage books, this absolutely has nothing to do with us recreational golfers, does it?
Well, it's not yardage books. It's green reading books.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, green reading books. Yes, my bad.
Which is a little bit different, and I personally have some conflicting feelings on it. You know, on one hand, I really don't like, as they have kind of put forth, this de-skilling of the game. I agree that green reading is an acquired skill and one people work very hard at, and those who do it well should be rewarded versus those that can't do it. On the other hand, I want to know the difference, you know, trying to be equitable. What's the difference between a green reading book and a yardage book? What's the difference between a green reading book and a laser rangefinder? All of things which make the game a little bit easier for people and give them information. So, you know, it's tough. I mean, the green reading books are pretty detailed, and I think the pros use them to their advantage. I don't see a lot of everyday players whipping them out of their back pocket trying to do. But I've heard of courses who have bought green reading books for their entire memberships.
Oh.
And you know, that's a problem now. So, you know, it's interesting. I also find that in their notice, the kind of comment period is only 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is a lot shorter than the USGA and RNA usually give. So that leads me to believe that this is something that they pretty much made their mind up on and are going to implement, you know, from hell or high water.
Okay, so let's say that I've got my app on my phone, and I've been counting on it to give me a kind of a nice read of the green. Am I still going to be able to use the app on my phone when I'm just playing with my friends, but not you be able to use it during a competitive round of golf? Or can I not use it because that would then affect my handicap number?
Well, they've made it very clear that you cannot post scores if you use one of these devices.
Okay.
So you know, the answer to that is, yeah, if you're not going to post a score and you're just out with three of your friends and none of you care,
yeah,
sure, that's fine. But if you're posting a score or playing in the competition, that baby needs to stay in the bag.
Okay. Okay. Mike Johnson is Golf Digest Senior Equipment Editor, Hot List team member. We're looking forward to the next one. Thank you for being on the show, Mike.
Danielle, always a pleasure.
Aloha. Coming back and finding out about something new in the game. Actually, president of LiveU Golf, Shane Yang, is probably very happy because he's won the Golf Digest Editor Choice Awards in 2017 and 2018 for his LiveU digital golf camera. We'll be back with Shane Yang right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
All right. Volcano has a 940. Makalei has a 1010. Poipu has a 1020. Kapolei, 830. Got 45 minutes. Call them fast. Drive over. Hawaii. Be careful driving. Rahawine Country Club has a 928. Makaha East has a 930. Kahili has a 936. Kahili Course is home of Claude Brousseau's Maui School of Golf. Okay. That's a great place. Kahili Golf. And Claude Brousseau, Maui School of Golf. Wailea has a 950, and it's only $50. They aerated 2 weeks ago. And Emerald has a 942. And we've got golf balls to give away from Bridgestone. That's right. We've been giving them away. We've had winners, and all you have to do is be the ninth. Now, there may be times when it's busy, and you're going, oh, I guess they've already got... No. No, not necessarily. The ninth caller wins, and you've got to call 546-5675 and be the ninth winner. So if it's busy, try back, because we have only one line for you to call in on. All right, the other line is being taken care of. He's on the phone. Shane Yang is president of Live View Golf, Live View Digital Golf Camera, the Golf Digest Editor Choice Awards in 2017 and 2018. Shane, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi. Now, you were just in Hawaii. Where were you?
We're actually on Oahu playing in the U.S. Women's Amateur Qualifier at Kapolei.
Fantastic. So did you bring your LiveView digital golf camera so that you could practice?
We did. And when I say we, I mean my daughter. And in fact, today we're in Tennessee at the U.S. Women's Amateur, which is getting ready to start on Monday.
Wow. How old's your daughter? Is she playing?
She's 17. Yes, she qualified in Kapolei. And we're here now getting ready for the tournament that starts on Monday.
That is fantastic. Oh, may she hit the sweet spot every time. Okay, the LiveView Digital Golf Camera. If you want to find out more about this, you just go to liveviewgolf.com and you can see it. This is a really, really cool camera. It sits facing you as you're on the range, and it'll have a line so that you can see. Well, I should let Shane talk about it, because as Martin Hall said, it's like having eyes in the back of your head, and learning is all about the number of correct repetitions you do. Correct repetitions, and that's what Live View will help you accomplish. Tell us how.
So the whole idea with LiveView started with the idea that it's much easier to learn when you can see what you're doing. A lot of people grew up practicing in front of mirrors. So when you do a check swing in front of your mirrors, it just helps you understand what your body is doing in relation to what you're trying to accomplish. So the idea with LiveView came about because my daughters, who were just taking golf at the time, were taking lessons in Monterey from our golf coach. And it's about an hour and a half to go take a lesson for us driving in from San Jose. So we would go take a lesson, and then, you know, like a lot of juniors, they would go home and they promptly forget everything that they were just taught.
Yeah.
So you know, the funny thing is, and then we'd go back for another lesson, you know, 3-4 weeks later, and most of the time it was basically just showing them what they were supposed to do, and just teaching them how to move. And it occurred to me that if they could just see themselves, it would be so much easier than relying on these once a month, twice a month refreshers with your golf coach. And I had worked with a couple different camera companies at the time. My background is in investment and in manufacturing. and I had some partners in Taiwan, which is where a lot of my manufacturing partners are from. And, you know, we came up with this idea of creating a camera, a wireless camera, and as long as we could improve the performance so there'd be no lag, it essentially creates a digital mirror. So if you imagine LiveView Golf, what it is, it's a camera. It's a digital camera. It streams wireless, so you can put it anywhere you'd want to put a camera. You can put it from the front. You can put it from the back. But instead of having to wait with a traditional camera where you record something, and then you have to go back and look at it. You know, you go back, you hit the play button, rewind, do whatever you need to do. With our camera, all the video is being broadcast live instantly. And it's broadcast to your iPad or your iPhone or your Android phone or Android tablet. And when you put it in front of you, it creates a digital mirror so you see instantly anything that you're doing as it's happening. And as a result, you have a much greater awareness of your swing, of your body, and you'd start making adjustments to make changes much more quickly.
Wow, that's fantastic. So but I also saw online that you have, is it your daughter that you have a photo of, and she's got the live view in front of her so she can, as she's singing, she can see the line where she should be, her posture should be in her backswing?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really good. I mean, I've been in different learning centers where they'll show you, okay, this is how it should be. But to actually, like you said, to take it back away from that area, that place, and then try to duplicate what you did on the driving range or on the course, it's really hard. Of course, now, how big is this live view?
So the live view camera is about the size of a deck of playing cards. It's designed to be really, really small so you can carry it around.
So it's like a pocket size.
It's pocket size. Yeah. Yes.
And how do you stand it up?
You can either clip it to an alignment stick if you carry one of those in your bag. A lot of people like to just take their alignment sticks, stick them in the ground, and it's got a clip in the back that clips directly onto those sticks. Or the other way is we have a tripod mount, which allows you to do basically the same thing and then mount it to your golf bag so that you get the correct height.
Wow. And this is Golf Digest 2018 Editor's Choice for Best Video Camera Award winner, also in 2017. What is the, tell us about the 60 frames per second slow-mo so you can actually then slow it down to see where you may be making a mistake?
Yeah, so this is one of the enhancements that we just released recently. A lot of people were using the live aspect, and that's great for when you're actually checking your swing, checking your backswing. But the harder thing is when you're then taking a full golf swing, things happen too quickly for you to really be able to react to it. So that's when we use a lot of video replay. But the problem with video replay is then you're usually relying on somebody else, a friend or somebody, to do the video for you. And so with the wireless camera now, we're able to increase the performance with the latest version of the camera to 60 frames per second. It actually has the ability to do a sound trigger where you can hit the ball and listen for the ball being hit, and it automatically records and then automatically plays back each swing in slow motion.
Wow, this is
all you have to do is just stand there and just hit golf balls, and you can check to see if you're hitting the swing that you're trying to get to.
And so the ball sound triggers the camera to record.
Correct.
How perfect is that? You can be all by yourself out there working on yourself. This is Live View Digital Golf Camera, Golf Digest Editor Choice Awards 2017-2018. You can see everything we've been talking about, liveviewgolf.com. Shane Yang, president, thanks so much, and so happy your daughter made it. And thinking positive thoughts, I'll be watching that leaderboard. I'll be talking about her. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Aloha. Coming back, we have another little item that I think you'll like. You know, we're giving away golf balls. And so if you're the number 9th caller at 546-5675, anywhere, they come to you via priority mail, 808-546-5675. If you're the 9th caller, you'll win golf balls. So what are we going to talk to you about next? John Donahue, president and co-founder of Golf Tech with a K, he's creator of Pro Check. Yes, a compression check in your hand after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens, your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Speaking of young people playing the game of golf, you know, the Boys Junior PGA Championship was just played at Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville, Kentucky. And since 1976, there's never been a back-to-back winner. We've got one now. His name is Ashke Bhatia. He sank a 40-foot eagle putt to become the first ever back-to-back boys junior PGA champion. That is really awesome. California's Tommy Stevenson finished one shot back at 10 under par. That is some golf those boys were playing. John Donahue, president and co-founder of Golf Tech LLC, that's with a K. He's creator of something called Pro Check. Now, Laura Sakai from Mililani is winner of our golf balls. Congratulations, Laura. That's really cool. Thanks for listening and thanks for calling in to win. And what she could do with this device that John Donahue created, it's called Pro Check. She could check to see if the compression of the golf ball is actually what she needs for her swing speed. Let's bring him in right now. John Donahue, welcome into the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
You have so many, you're graduated cum laude from University of Massachusetts, BS and Masters of Science in Mechanical Engineering. You've worked with the American Society of Mechanical Engineers, Engineers Without Borders, co-authored a chapter of Innovations in Fuel Cell Technologies. Obviously, you have some deep background, and now you've created something that people can actually use. They can carry it in their bag, in their pocket, it looks like, and check the compression on the ball. First of all, explain why that's important. Why is the ball compression important?
Well, it's significant impact on how far the ball will travel. The compression of the ball is going to help store energy, and you want to match the ball compression to your swing speed to get the maximum distance.
So if I get a ball that's really hard to make it compress, which means that it gets a little bit smaller when that club head hits it, and then it kind of trampolines off that, that energy goes boom, and then it just, so if the ball is too hard for my swing speed because I can't compress that ball, I'm not going to get the distance?
Exactly. You're storing energy in the ball, and the amount of energy you store is how much you can compress it. So you're definitely going to get more distance when you can get the ball flattened out on your club face. So you want a softer ball if you're not swinging as fast.
Got it. So what is this? Tell us how this device works. And what am I going to find out when I put my ball inside this little, what we call a puka, the little hole that you have there?
Yes, right. So we put the ball in and press it in, and then we're going to pull a trigger. Well, the device is going to tell us when to proceed, and then it's going to tell us the ball to push it in, and then we're going to squeeze this trigger assembly, and then wait another minute, not a minute, 5 seconds or so, press a little button with an R, and then it's going to display 1 through 8 bars, depending on if it's a very hard ball, it'd be 8, and if it's the softest ball, it'd be a 1. And then balls, medium balls are going to be in the middle. And the device has labels from very soft to very firm.
So now this is where we're going to have to explain. First of all, you're going to need to know what each one of those numbers represents, and you're also going to have to know what your swing speed is. Just a moment here. We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. So when I put the ball in my handheld ProCheck, and I squeeze it, I press a button, and it's going to give me a number. And it's between 1 and 10. And then the corresponding 10 would be the hardest ball, so I'd have to have a swing speed of 181.
Well, there's actually 8 bars, but at the top you'd want to have a swing speed like 120 or 130 miles an hour.
Okay.
So you're a young man or a pro.
Yeah.
So, down at the bottom, you might have a swing speeds like 80, 90 miles an hour or even less for some people. But what we've got in the literature with the device, some people don't know what their swing speed is, but they almost always know how hard or what the carry distance from their driver is. And so we have a chart that matches swing speed to that carry distance, and then also corresponds to how many bars you would want a ball to compress.
Fantastic. If I know that I hit the ball 100 yards, it's in the book, I should get a number 2 compression ball, or probably.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow, that's cool, because I thought I'd have to go down to, you know, someplace with a track man and have my swing speed measured before I could use your device, but that's not the case.
No, we've got a little chart that helps sort that out for you.
Okay. Now, the next thing that I was thinking, and this is just me going through it. Okay, great. This is fun. I'm going to figure out what the compression of the ball is so that I know that it matches my swing speed. But what if I buy a box of balls and then I test one and it's like, well, I'm sorry, lady, you'll never get this thing compressed. And then I've got a whole box of balls. So I guess you really need to find maybe, you know, when you're out with friends, let me check your compression.
Yeah, or there's literature. In fact, we just got a nice write-up from golfgearbox.com, and on their blog/news, they've got a ProCheck ball compression gauge review, and they list some balls there, and there's other websites that tell you the compression number of the balls. There's a GBT website that lists a great number of balls, and there's other sites too. So if you just Google golf ball compression, you can find, you know, a number of different sites that can help guide you to what balls you should be buying.
Oh, that's cool. I said golf ball compression chart and rank, a golf info guide. There's a whole thing, a whole understanding golf ball compression chart. And where's the review that you were speaking of?
That's on
www.golfgearbox.com. Great, golfgearbox.com. I'm going to have to pull that up right now. See. I think this is great, because a lot of people don't realize how important. First of all, your swing speed, in your golf ball fitting, is one of the most important parts of the game. Other than making sure that the shafts fit the height of your body and the weight is comfortable for you. If a stiff or flex, you know, you think, well, flex would be good. Well, not necessarily. Too much flex in a shaft, it's going to be whippy, and you'll never be able to get that club in the right place because you're just not that good yet. But too stiff of a shaft, that's going to hurt, and you're not going to get any, depending on your body, your strength, and a whole bunch of stuff, your height and all that, you need to fit your clubs. But then comes the important part about club to ball fitting. And ball fitting is very, very important, probably the most unsung of the getting dressed for golf aspects of the game. So we're talking with John Donahue, president and co-founder of Golf Tech and creator of this device. It's called Pro Check. Pro Check will check the compression of the golf ball that you're using, and you might find that you could get how many more yards if you get the right ball?
Yeah, we're seeing 10 to 20 yards from matching your speed to the compression of the ball.
10 to 20?
Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, that's that would be very nice. So with the where do I get it?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked. You can get it off of our website, which is procheckgolf.com. And you go to that page, and there's a purchase button right at the top of the page.
Okay, procheckgolf.com is where we go to get our Pro Check. How much does it cost?
$139.
That's cool. And this is made out of what? How strong is it?
It's strong. It's a nylon reinforced with fiberglass.
Wow, fiberglass nylon reinforced. That's nice. How did you make it? How did you come up with this?
Well, I have a partner, and he's willing to pick up balls on the course, and so he never knows what he's really picking up. And so by having a device like this, you can see whether you want to keep that ball or give it away to someone or throw it away perhaps. But that was the beginning, and we've been working at it for 6 years to get it to this point, and we're ready to start selling them.
Absolutely. Okay, so I have friends. We were just talking. We had a ball fitting with Bridgestone. It was great. And, the girls were saying, well, I guess I can't pick up those balls because, you know, I don't know what. Now, see, you can pick up all those golf balls that you find everywhere, and you can collect them, and you can use your Pro Check. And you'll find the ball, and then you'll be able to give them your friends. Oh, what compression should you be using? And we can sort them out as Christmas gifts. This is great. John, and you said you've been working on this for 6 years. I love inventors who start 6 years ago. Where did you start on this?
Well, with an idea.
Okay. And where did that take you?
I found a device that I could modify and start off. And then we had something that we brought and made our first prototype. And then we've been evolving it from there.
So you see, a lot of people, including a friend of ours who's putting together a golf bag that is also a push cart in one, he started, I think it was 5 years ago, he sank everything into it, and he's about to go into production, but he has to have a GoFundMe page, right? So he's doing this funding program. And you started 6 years ago. So if there's anyone out there listening right now, if you're listening and you're working on something, just know that it's not going to happen overnight, but it can happen for you. And John Donahue is one of the guys who's made his dream come true. He's the creator of Pro Check. And if you want to know more about Pro Check, go to procheckgolf.com and you'll see it. And it's not big. How heavy is this?
Oh, it weighs less than a half a pound.
That's very cool. That's very nice. Procheckgolf.com. Check the compression of the golf balls you're using and find out if they're the right ones for you. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you.
Aloha.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. John Donahue, that was very cool. I wish he'd told us, like, you know, in more detail. Some people have told me about how they sit around the kitchen table and they're trying different fabrics and different things to make things come to life for the, and just it's a labor of love and a dream, and it's a special breed of people who are able to follow through and just keep on keeping on and making it come true, whatever dream it is. We're going to come back right after this. Dave Shedlovsky, he's going to be with us from the WGC Bridgestone. If I'm not mistaken, I haven't heard from him yet. It's about the time we're supposed to call, but see, he found a puppy room over at the WGC, and he said, if you can't find me, go look in the puppy room. We'll have to find out what he's talking about after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now, done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futurastone's master craftsmen can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futurastone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futurastone. 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futurastone. Only the best.
A question. What is 6 times larger than your front door? What can open and close with the touch of a button or the click of your smartphone? What do your neighbors notice every time they pass your home? And what is the one home improvement that offers the largest return on investment? What gives you thousands of choices yet can be installed in a single day? You're right. It's your new Rainer garage door. Beautify your home with Rainer at 676-3667. That's 676-3667.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
If you're heading out to play a round of golf today, we've got, of course, Hurricane Hector out there. We're going to have breezy conditions, mostly cloudy in the morning on the windward side with showers. Showers in the afternoon on the leeward side is in the forecast, isolated showers. The high is expected to be 90 degrees, so it'll probably feel really good if it rains on you while you're playing. The trades are 15 to 25 miles an hour. So going through all of the different, forecasts, going, okay, sun Monday through Tuesday, trades are still 10 to 20. Then we get down to, okay, how about Wednesday? Trades are still 15 to 25. It's going to be hot. The trades are still blowing. So far, I'm thinking, okay, so how far out is Hector? I sure hope Hector just kind of travels off there along the southern side and just blows itself out. Do you know that it's getting to be that time of the year when it's already time to buy Sony Open in Hawaii? Tickets, yes, you can get a deal, too. It's like $20 if you go online to buy. Season badge is $60. If you buy at the gate, the price is a little bit more. It's $25 a dailies at the gate. So this is great. And you can go with the VIP hospitality passes at the Suite 16 Chalet. Always nice because they got a TV on inside. So if you want to get in out of the heat, have a little brewski, something to drink, cool off, then you get back out and have a good old time. All right. And I think we've got Dave out of the puppy room. Dave Shedlovsky is Golf World magazine contributor, Golf Digest. He's an author, an editor. He worked with Arnold Palmer when Arnold wrote My Life Well Played, My Stories. Welcome into the clubhouse, Dave.
Well, thanks very much. Glad to be here again.
Yes, and so I was worried that you got lost in the puppy room. What is the puppy room at the WGC Bridgestone?
Well, actually, they didn't have it the rest of the week, but they had it for the first couple of days. And, yeah, I was pretty disappointed. But the puppy room is simply they brought in some rescue puppies. They put them in one of the guest rooms at Firestone Clubhouse, and players, caddies, families could go in there. You know, you could just sit on the floor, you know, wallow in puppydom. which is what myself and Mike Thomas, Justin Thomas's father, did on Wednesday, is we just kind of just decided to lose ourselves in the puppy room. And it was hard to pull us out, but they managed.
But they managed. Oh, that is wonderful. What a wonderful way. You know, because when you're on the road a lot and you don't have that kind of pet moment in your life, that's perfect to be able to. Yes, you know, so I thought it was so cute. And you can follow Dave on Twitter, Dave Shedlosky, and that was one of the little things that you probably don't hear about on television when it comes to the WGC Bridgestone. Last time it's going to be played at Firestone. So is Firestone going to have a role in the new season at all?
The Firestone role will be on the PGA Tour Champions. They'll bring the senior players there, and we'll see the Bridgestone Senior Players Championship starting next year for the next 4 years. So a tradition continues that began in 1954 with the Rubber City Open, and it's going to continue, and thankfully we're going to see golf at in Akron.
Absolutely great. Now, I think you also used the word marshmallow to describe Firestone.
I did. There's no monster here this week. It's soft. It's inviting. There's a little bit more breeze today, but not much. And when you don't have wind, you have soft greens. The fairways have been soft. These guys, I mean, they're just too good to, you know, to not just take advantage of that.
Well, I'm looking at Jason Day. And we've got Jason Day, who, he's through two. Justin Thomas and Ian Poulter and Tommy Fleetwood, they're all tied 11 under on day three.
They just teed off. So we are not even, we're 4 hours away from finding out what's going to happen here.
Yeah, and how low will they go? You know, we could have a 25 under winner here.
It's possible. Tiger won here once at 21 under. Certainly, I think we could see, some early scores, some four unders, Dustin Johnson, Alex Noren. Those are pretty good scores. I mean, I think that just a slight bit more breeze here. Whole locations are pretty good today. But, you know, if one of the leaders shoots a 5-6 under again, and it's certainly possible when they're driving the ball 370 yards, which is what we're seeing a lot of. I mean, Rory yesterday at number 8 hit one 380 down the middle.
Wow.
Now, it's one thing to hit a 380, but down the middle, I mean, come on, that's just like cheating. And so, we're definitely going to see, and this is what we're going to see next week at Bell Reef, too. We're going to see, you know, Zoysia fairways that are receptive. And, I mean, it's a bomber's ballpark, and we're going to see guys, you know, swinging away. It's going to be cool. So,
you know, it is. And there's a part of me that when the USGA decides that, we're going to have to make this really rough because we got to protect the par, it's like, come on. Some of it has to be a little bit more fun for us as viewers. And, I mean, it's fun to see them struggle a little bit, but not too much. Just, you know, give us a little bit of the adrenaline that happens when the guys are really on it, and then you're going, wow, look at that. And then, yes, and that's where the sport aspect of the game comes in, when you're able to cheer for that amazing shot. 380 yards down the middle, wow, okay.
Well, and I think that, you know, you would cheer those shots, even if they're for pars, if the USGA, and I've talked to USGA folks about that, if the USGA was a little more, I think, just kind in terms of how they set up the greens. Because, look, you can't have greens where, you know, guys are afraid to be putting off them because then it's defensive, it's not very exciting. I've always said, you know, let's go back and try and get a little closer to the old formula. Let's narrow the fairways. These guys are, you know, just killing the ball, so why don't we make the fairways a little more narrow, a little more challenging, but make the greens more receptive so we can see recovery shots and they wouldn't be afraid to, you know, to putt and to you know, go after a shot.
Yes, I like that. The recovery shots that Tiger used to make were always the most exciting part of his game. He could be almost anywhere with that driver, but he'd somehow manage to get on the green, and the green would take him.
Yes.
That was fun.
It was, and I think that would be, you know, I still think you would see scores that were, you know, fairly high, because if you have narrow fairways with some rough, that means they're going to have to, you know, not necessarily hack it out, but they're not going to reach the green, and then you have greens are receptive that they could chip and putt, and it would be a little less harrowing. I think that, you know, then by and large, you know, they would pay for their mistakes, but maybe not the way that we're seeing it now, where it just seems like it's, you know, they're almost not scared, but they're certainly so protective of how they're hitting a shot that it's not really a shot that, you know, that you can appreciate.
Right. And then it's rolling off the back of the green, and it's rolling and it's rolling and
rolling and it's rolling. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, there they go. Okay. Just looking at the leaderboard now, it looks like Tiger is just like flatlining. He's even, but that isn't going to cut it.
Not today. And, you know, we had mentioned to Tiger, and he was excited about today because he does lead the PGA Tour in third-round scoring average this year so far, 68.20. And so, you know, moving day has been pretty good for Tiger. But, you know, he parred the second. That's not a good one. And really what you want to do is, one's not that tough. Two's is frankly a birdie eagle hole. Three is probably a birdie hole if you put it in the right part of the fairway. You could be three or four under. We've seen it a lot over the first three holes. You got to get it, you know, in that very early stretch, and he has not done that.
Yeah, he's looks like he's just even. I don't want to give it away if y'all are recording it and all that stuff, but it's going to be interesting. I just love the fact that he's where he is. You know, he's in the mix at the, not at the bottom. He's not languishing in 40th. You know, maybe he will be, but right in general, we're seeing somebody who's coming back from a period when he had to literally pick his legs up to get out of bed, to being in shape to play these tough golf courses and do it at the Open in fine fashion. Maybe he didn't win, but hey, you know, he played really well. So good to see that.
It is good to see that, and you know, frankly, we all are believing that what he's shown us this year, he will win again. But you know, some of it's timing, some of it is a little bit of luck, and you know, he didn't need a lot of luck before. Not necessarily needs a lot of luck now, but he needs the right timing because he's got to beat more players that really are very good, and they, you know, they're obviously not intimidated by him. These young guys, I mean, they hit it past him, so. You know, but I think Tiger's going to do it. I think he's going to get at least his 80th win before we're done.
Oh, that would be so great. And I'm looking forward to it. And then they're all in shape, too. You know, it's like he led the world in let's get physical when it comes to golf.
That's well, he did.
Yeah, yeah. So all these kids are just taking notes from Tiger when he was 15 years ago when he got into the weight room. I think he overdid a little bit, frankly, but that's what happens when you get really excited about being in the weight room. You just go a little bit too far. Can I ask you, do you really think this Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson at Shadow Creek in Vegas is going to happen?
Absolutely, that's going to happen. There's no doubt about that. The only question is that going to be the only one? You know, maybe we see more than one of these. I don't know. I asked Tiger that yesterday, and he said, well, we'll see. I mean, there was only one plan for the Battle of Bighorn, and then all of a sudden we saw him, you know, for annually, if we'll do one of those East Coast nighttime television specials. Who knows? But yeah, I definitely think this is going to happen. I don't know if they'll play for $10 million, but I think they're going to be close. And then we'll go from there. But yeah, absolutely, it's going to happen.
Great. Now the question a lot of people say to me is, I say, well, you know, it's not like they're playing for their own money. They're not I'm like, no, they're not putting up $10 million of their own money, right?
Oh, no. This is some sponsor wants to do this. Hey, more power to them. That's what they want to do. But
Yes.
But, yeah, they're not playing. I mean, I think it would be more interesting if they did play for their own money. But we don't think, that's never going to happen.
Right, right.
No, they're too smart for that. They're good businessmen, right?
Yes, yes. A real touching moment. And this is Dave Shedlosky, Golf World magazine contributor, author, editor, My Life Well Played, My Stories by Arnold Palmer. And you can see on Golf Channel, there's a really cool interview with Dave talking about some of the fun that he had with Arnold Palmer when he was writing this book, to the two of them together. But today, or yesterday, Jim Nance received the Ambassador of Golf Award. And it seemed like he liked getting the Ambassador of Golf Award, but maybe more so the letter from past recipients Jack and Barbara Nicholas.
Well, yeah, I think he liked that a lot more than the actual award. But isn't that just, as I wrote to him, isn't that just typical of Jack and Barbara to do that? They're so thoughtful. And they even sent that note when they were traveling abroad as part of their anniversary celebration. I think they've been married now 58 years. So that's quite a feat in and of itself. But, Jim has done a great many things for golf, beyond his broadcasting, and now he's writing for us at Golf Digest as well. And it was an appropriate award for a guy who's really been around since a young man, 26 when he started CBS, and there he is getting the Ambassador of Golf.
It's wonderful. Yes, exactly. And his reaction was priceless that he got the letter from Jack and Barbara. So where's your next stop? Where are you headed next?
Oh, I have a great schedule coming up. I'm very excited to be, after Akron, I'll head to Belrive for the PGA Championship, and then right from Belrive, I'll head out to Pebble Beach for the U.S. Amateur. Great venue. He hasn't had the Amateur for 20 years. It was won by David Gossett, of course, back in 1961. Jack Nicklaus won the Amateur there.
Wow.
So this is the fifth, I believe, or maybe the sixth, and I apologize. I haven't done my homework on exactly how many, but I think it's the fifth U.S. Amateur there and probably the 10th USGA event. So it's obviously an exciting venue, and it's going to be great to see it played in August and, of course, the U.S. Open there next year in June.
It's fantastic, and I'm just thinking about being able to sit there and look out over the ocean and be in that, just that environment that you going to be inspired to write for. Golf Digest, Dave Shedlosky, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, Danielle, it's always a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Aloha. Let's thank the people who make this show possible. Creative Plumbing. You know the story. I've said this. It doesn't matter, what kind of building you are. If you need plumbing work, and it doesn't matter what kind of work you need, whether it's a new, completely ground up, if it's a renovation, if it's a repair, you need to call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. And Todd does it right. Creative Plumbing and the team at Creative Plumbing. So that's Creative Plumbing. Got it? Futuristone. Futuristone master craftsman, turning your building, your warehouse. No, seriously, one warehouse. They wanted their concrete floors to be polished. And they look like marble. Beautiful concrete floors that can be polished to look like just a billiard ball. They're beautiful. That's Futuristone. Okay, they also have natural stones. They specialize in the Brazilian quartzite flagstone. They do AquaPave on-site stormwater source control systems. Really important. Interlocking concrete pavers. They'll make your runway if you'd like. Roman stack walls. Futuristone. Only the best. Speaking of the best, that's right. Rainer doors. The overhead door. Used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. So use it to protect your home. And they've got some really beautiful new styles. These Rainer doors they'll automatically open up for you and they automatically close for you. And it's so much easier. Increase the investment of your home with a major return on that is increase the value of your home. Major return on your investment, just putting in a Rainer door. You can always listen to the show. We are streaming live at https://www.radiogolfclub.com. And it's podcast there. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.